spirit her.
John, we have three bills. Do you want to give us a real quick rundown?
Yes, I will, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, committee members, audience, we have three bills that deal with the general subject of the school speed zone issue. I'll just review what's in each of them quickly. First bill is House Bill 2365. It would basically repeal the existing language in the statute and provide new provisions that would define it a violation as driving greater than 20 miles an hour when children are present or when a flashing light indicates that children may be arriving at or leaving school. The current definition of the term children are present provides that they are present at any time and on any day when children are in a place where they are or can reasonably be expected to be visible to a person operating a motor vehicle that is passing a school ground or a school crosswalk. House Bill 2365 has an effective date of July 1, 2005. The second bill is House Bill 2481. It would modify the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit in portions of a school zone that are contiguous to a school to apply only at times that would be posted on a sign. And the last bill is House Bill 2840. This would provide that the school speed zone limit applies between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on roads adjacent to a school if the authorized speed on those roads is 30 miles an hour or less.
Thank you. Representative Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Dennis Richardson, the state representative for District 4, and I'm here to speak in behalf of the third of the bills that were referred to. It's House Bill 2840. And just by way of brief history, the bill that came before the legislature last session, which was one that, with which Mr. Chair is intimately knowledgeable, was designed to fix a problem of confusion. And basically, the law as it existed up until that time was that the speed around schools at 20 miles an hour was when children were present. And while drivers felt that means that when children are present, meaning you can see them, there were certain law enforcement officers and judges who felt that it meant when children might be present, like any time during school hours. And so there were people getting tickets at 2 in the afternoon while all the kids are in class and there's no one around, but they were on the premises, but a driver didn't really know that. And so there was discussion about whether or not it was fair to have such confusion. So to clarify this confusion, the statute was changed to any time. And so then we, during the interim, many of us had many pointed discussions with constituents all across the state who said, why would you change such a law and enact a law where you could possibly get a ticket at 2 a.m. for not going 20 miles an hour in a school zone when kids are home in bed? And so it was actually the most common concern among constituents during the interim. This was something that came up wherever we went, and so we felt it was necessary that there would be something done to help rectify that. And so there's three suggestions, as was referred to by Mr. Hauser. The first one is to repeal the anytime law completely. Now, if that were to take place, then that puts us back to where we were before last session, and we will have the confusion again about what it means if children are present. That's proposed Bill 2365. Proposed Bill 2481 says that you could have the 20 mile an hour limitation, but only on the times that are set forth on signs. But the problem with that is that, and this came to me just in a recent email from some seniors that were saying, by the time we get to the sign, first we have to see if we can read it, and then by the time we really know what it's saying, we're already past it. And so that made it a little difficult. They were saying what we really need is flashing lights. The flashing lights, which is an option, by the way, is it's kind of an expensive fix. And so while everyone has kind of a different idea of what might be done, the bill that I'm here to speak in behalf of is 2840, which is known as the 777 bill, and it's something that could be a statewide rule. Everybody understands it, and that is between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., 7 days a week, you slow down when you're around a school. Now, all it does is take the current statute and change and add a few words. Presently, it says anytime, and with this bill, it would say anytime, comma, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., and so that's the only change it makes. And so the other provisions of the current law, which allow for signs to be posted or flashing lights, which gives local authorities the ability to adjust that time as they want, those would still be in place. All it does is take us from a 24/7, which has caused such a kind of an outpour of concern, to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And it's not magic, but it's just a clean fix, and it's easy to remember.
Thank you, Representative. Questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think.
Representative Berger.
This isn't really a Representative Richardson. Under the current statute, do they have authority to put those flashing lights when they want? I don't believe they do. And we can get an answer for that from perhaps ODOT later. But that's a question that I would like to. I don't know.
If I could, all I've got is the bill. I don't. You probably wouldn't know that, but
it's one of the questions that keeps popping up. What are the, you know? When can they use the flashing lights?
Let's see.
Troy, do you want to come up try to shed some light on this, or would you rather not?
We might save it for the end when we've got a whole list of questions.
Okay.
We can keep it tab.
I could share with you something from the statute if you wanted, unless Troy is ready to do that.
I didn't mean to cause a... Troy's here. We'll put him on the spot.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Troy Costales, manager of the Transportation Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Current law takes the school zones and separates it first into two things, the adjacent roads to schools and the non-adjacent roads to schools. House Bill 2840 does not change anything to the non-adjacent area of schools. So set that one aside for a second, go to the adjacent side. For roads that are posted at 30 miles an hour or less, the school sign must say, 24 hours a day or at all times. There are some jurisdictions that have lights now, but they're not called for in law or spelled out. A lot of them are simply just turned off at this point in time. Some jurisdictions are turning them on when children are approaching in order to heighten the awareness, but it's not something that they can be cited for when lights are flashing because it's not allowed. For the 35 mile an hour and higher roads adjacent to schools, they have the option of either posting times on a sign or using amber lights.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
And thank you, Representative Richardson.
Thank you.
Representative Berger, do you want to address your bill again?
No, Mr. Chair, thank you for the courtesy. As you know, when we had a previous hearing, I did address my bill, and I think my bill is self-evident. Take off what we did before. So I don't think it's necessary, Mr. Chair, but thanks for the courtesy.
Representative Robin, do you?
Welcome.
Well, thank you, Chair, and rest of the committee. My name is Arnie Roblin, and I'm a representative from House District 9 in Coos Bay. These two bills, actually, are bills that both came to my interest. Were important to many of my constituents on both sides. There are people who like the 24/7. There are others who have felt that it's really a bad issue on certain ones of our areas. And so I came to speak because I think as we look at this is a lot more complex issue than I think was understood at the time that it happened. And we have one school that's located on Highway 101. As you come in from the south end of in towards Goose Bay in an unincorporated area in the county called Bunker Hill. And it is a school that, as you come around the corner from the south, you don't know the school's there until you come around the corner. And the same is true when you're coming out of town. It's not a place that's real noticeable, but it is right on 101. And so it is one of those that is in that 35-mile-an-hour zone and so on. And we don't have lights there, and that's the thing that I really feel strongly. They should have the blinking lights. Because what's happening now, especially late at night, there's people will come around on 101 and realize that all of a sudden they see the sign. So they'll slam on their brake, and the cars behind them don't realize what's going on because they don't see the school and they don't see the sign. So, but some people who have been getting used to slowing down slow down, and others don't. Causes a real hazard, I believe, for safety. And we need to, as a community, figure out how to make that a safer place. At the same time, it is important during the school hours for people to slow down there and understand there is a school. There needs to be signs that's ahead of that. And I think, and I'm not sure if it's an ODOT problem or how we have to figure this out, but there needs to be enough recognition before it gets there that there's going to be a school coming up. And I think sometimes we forget that. So individual locations are very important. In town, residential areas, a school, it's already going slow. I think it's an appropriate thing to be driving slowly there anyway. But some of these areas need to be considered, and I think both of these bills address some of that. We do need to, I believe, have places where the lighting is either... it costs so much money, I'm not sure that requiring it is the issue, but we really need to encourage that. And as I drive home, I go through Elkton, they've got the flashing lights. It has been a very positive thing to let people know you're coming to a school, slow down. And in these areas on these big highways, I think it's very important for both the safety of the families and the other parts have been, the 20-mile-an-hour zone did a nice thing for, at the end of the school day, all the parents would get there to pick up their kids, and then they'd have to get back on this highway. It's slowed down now. That's made it a much safer deal getting back onto the highway during school hours. So some of those things are really important. So even though the doing away with it, because I'm worried that could happen, is one of the options here at the floor. There are some places where that it probably shouldn't be the option. We really do need to be having people slow and understand what it's about, or we're going to get people hurt. But the current way, we're going to get people hurt even when there aren't kids there, because the danger of having it 24/7 and some people obeying it and some people not, because I don't know that it's being enforced that much in the middle of the night, but it's the individual driver who makes the recognition that it's what they need to do, and the person behind them that doesn't recognize that can become a real problem. So I encourage you to work it together as a group and come up with a solution I think that can be helpful for Oregon. And I thank you for your opportunity and time, and open to any questions that might be there.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roland, you, in your former job, you had to hang around school buildings for a lot of school activities.
I did.
Athletics all the time. We've had a variety of counter solutions that have been suggested in terms of if we were going to have a consistent set of hours statewide, what those might be. 7 to 4, 7 to 5, 7 to 7, 6 to 10, 5 days a week, 7 days a week. Any insights into if we were to have a set of hours, what those hours best might be that would be inclusive of when kids would be there, and the number of days a week that it might apply?
And again, this one will go differently for different kinds of buildings. Elementary buildings, depending on the kind of park system you have in your community, they become the public parks. So there are kids coming and going from some of those during the regular weekend and so on. So the 7 to 7 kind of makes sense at times. It keeps people alerted, remember what's going on. High schools are a really different deal, and that's where I spent my 32 years. We have things that go till 10 o'clock at night on many nights of the week, on weekends and so on. I don't, from my perspective, it's not... High school students should also be just as cautious. I like the 20-mile zone because it calms them down, not that the people coming to the school. They need to drive 20 miles an hour. I'd like to know how many of them actually know that their cars go that slow. So that's another part of the whole issue. But coming out after a basketball game and those kind of things become a dangerous time because kids come out in a group and they head off to someplace and they aren't thinking about what's going on. Most people who are leaving then are very cautious because they know there's people walking in and out of their cars and so on. It's the people who didn't realize there was an event and come up. Usually there's so much traffic in places like in our small town, it's the event. So everybody, a lot of people are there. So when it's emptying, you can't go more than 20 miles an hour because it doesn't evacuate that easily. But the 7-7 makes a lot of sense to me for most places. When I first heard that idea, the weekends, I didn't know why we would need to do weekends. But as I looked around more at elementary schools and realized how many kids use those parks as their place for kids to go and so on and so forth, and they might be less inclined to look about the street on the weekend than they do on a school day because there's other adults there that are kind of helping mind them. So I think that is an issue to look at. High schools are a different creature, and the times and stuff, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to satisfy all the times when the schools are kind of in action. And then people need to be responsible, and both the kids and the people who are driving need to be responsible. But usually it's big enough at the school events. Our kids get home at 12 and 1 o'clock at night when they've been coming back from an event in Lebanon, which is part of our league, who's played Lebanon. A lot of people don't know that it's almost like some of the Eastern Oregon drives that people get to take. So you get home very late, usually not an issue, other than falling asleep when you're driving back to wherever. So that's an important part, too. But that would kind of be my best guess.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, Norman West. You've been here quite a while, Norman.
I was thinking thank you for being here and hearing us. I appreciate it. I was thinking a sign I would appreciate more would be a sign posting the hours of operation of the parking meters more. I was here earlier. I pick up a $12 ticket. Thank you. I looked over at the other car and saw, well, their light's blinking too, so it must be okay.
Your name?
I'm Norman West. I'm just a citizen. I think I'll read this and get that out of the way, and I'll be glad to answer questions. As a traveling copy or repair person, I work for ICON. I often travel through Southeast Salem on State Street, Mission, 12th Street, Commercial Street, Madrona Street, Pringle Road, and Liberty Road. All of these have schools adjacent or near them. My days are never the same, so I could be at any point on any of these streets at any time between 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock. It's not unusual for me to cross a school zone with its flashing lights going and traffic obeying them or not as their inclinations lead them. The main thing I notice is that there are very seldom children present. It feels really silly to be holding up traffic for no reason, no reason at all. Now, the people who fashioned this law were well-meaning but also frightened. Frightened that they would be seen callous toward the safety of our children to the detriment of their re-election chances. However well-meaning they might have been, the present law does little or nothing to achieve its objectives. There's been no great number of deaths of children in school zones or crosswalks that I remember. There have been deaths and injuries, but these have occurred in places where children wait for buses, as in the case of Topaz Luna on Hawthorne, or in places where parents have complained for years of unsafe walking paths adjacent to roads, unregulated intersections, and unsafe and or unmarked crosswalks. The drafters of the law were working on the wrong problem, probably because even at $20,000 per light, or whatever the undoubtedly exorbitant cost was, it would be cheap compared to the price of doing the real work. I propose that the flashing lights be left on at all times, since they are already paid for, but they be to alert drivers of the possibility of the presence of children, and the 20 miles per hour limit would go into effect only when children actually are present. I mean physically present. This will be a law that works and everyone can respect and feel compelled to obey for the reason that it was made, to protect our children. In the meantime, get busy making the necessary improvements along streets and at intersections where children travel to and from school. Send out a survey. Any parent can tell you if there's a problem area their child has to negotiate and fix them. This law has impacted my family negatively and unnecessarily. My wife, who has or had a flawless driving record, was going past the area of Whitaker Middle School on a day when Whitaker was closed. The school that was open was Gubser Elementary, which is a quarter of a mile or more. My wife thinks it's over a mile. But there were no children present and just a crossing guard waiting for stragglers. My wife thinks it was not even the crossing guard, but however. True, the officer could have made a judgment call and issued a warning, but as the law is written, it's not only punitive, but draconian. Maybe that is why he wrote her a citation for $168, which could not be lessened or changed in any way. I'll tell you, our respect for the authors of that law went out the window when we found that out during our research trying to mitigate our financial mini-disaster that was incurred not in the service of children, but of the frightened politicians. Basically, it's the wrong problem. I don't know how many children have been killed, not very many, but I do remember that I could drive Hawthorne fairly frequently, and they have done some work on it, but it's still pretty narrow and uneven there where people have to wait for the buses. I remember something about the last child that was killed. It was in an intersection that parents had complained about for years and years and years. My solution is instead of making traffic guess when they're obeying the law, is if they see a child in or near a school, that's when to slow down. It's simple, and nobody can argue that it's not doing what it was paid for. In the meantime, get busy, and this gentleman on Highway 101, that's what he needs to do. He needs to have a survey made of his problems and a specific solution taken for his area, which will prevent the confusion and keep it safe. And that's all I've got. The wrong problem is being addressed here.
Thanks, Norman. The reason that we passed this bill 2 years ago was that 100 children were injured a year in or around schools. And I just don't think that's an acceptable number. And it didn't happen in 2003 or even 2002, but we were also killing one or two a year. And that just isn't acceptable to me. And I appreciate your comments. We're going to look at all different ideas, and I hope we'll come up with a good compromise that answers your question. I'm not sure we'll go back to just when children are present, because it's a little bit in the eye of the beholder. If you see a child there, a child's present. There's no question about that. But that child might be 20 feet away or something like that, and you may not see him at all. I may not see him. That's part of the issue.
I understand, but I notice the schools I go by in the Salem area are all fenced. They have sidewalks. Some of them are set far back. And living in Salem, the Salem incidents are the ones I hear about. I thought of trying to research all of the incidents so that I could get a pattern established to better address it. I think that's probably one of the things that would best be done. I still don't see how this particular... there's still, I can't see if you would narrow the arrow down to, or the time down to, I have seen it between 7 a.m. and 9 p.m. and I'll say 3 and 5 in the afternoon. I could live with that, but the rest of it is too broad-based, and all it takes is a second's inattention and an officer there, and for me, $168 is a good chunk. That's the other half of part of the law. My wife didn't deserve that ticket, but the way the law is written, there's no recourse. The judge can't reduce the bail. You're stuck, and I think that is wrong as well.
Questions?
Yes.
Not a question, but I wanted to tell the panel that for those of you who are not in Salem, Mr. West is referring to a really tragic accident where a child was waiting for a bus, and lots of kids waited for the bus there, a school bus, and it was a road without good shoulder or anything, and the child was literally hit and killed by the side mirror of a car going.
Oh.
It was real tragedy in Salem, and we all gulp still that such a thing happened, and that's, I think, his reference is to a case of things that we need to deal with, and this is one.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Wally, G-U-T-Z, there you go.
Gutzler.
Okay, good.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Wally Gutzler. I live in Salem. I'm glad to hear that Norman West, who testified just before me, works for ICON. He's in our place so often I thought he worked for us. I think that anybody who appears before you and says this is a stupid law and I have a perfect solution probably doesn't understand the problem, because I certainly don't have any good suggestions. I'm here and I marked on the appearance sheet that I am for the bill. All I'm for is giving it some look. I think it needs to be changed, but I am the first to admit that I don't know how you're going to change it. I think that, or at least I hope that you have time enough to look at it and figure out a way to make it more acceptable than it is. There are two reasons that I think that it needs to be changed in some way. I drive back and forth, round and round in Salem several times every day. I go through a lot of school zones. Two in particular caught my attention, and just as late as this morning, I drove through both of them two or three times. One of them is out on South Liberty Road, and it has flashing lights, and underneath the lights there's a little sign that says 20 miles per hour, but underneath it says when lights are flashing. Then out on North Capitol Street, there's one that looks just the same. It has flashing lights. It says 20 miles per hour. But in the fine print beneath that, it says at all times. I think that's confusing to anybody. I just don't know how people really know what to do until, as somebody has already said, they get close enough to read the small print. And by then, it's too late to do whatever it is they're supposed to do. If you're going through them all the time, like I am the one on South Liberty Road, I know what that one says. I hadn't been through the one on North Capitol Street recently, and I didn't know what it said until I was too close to react to that sign. If I went 20 miles an hour anyway, because that seemed to be the safe thing to do, and it turned out it was all right, but I probably wouldn't have if it had been 2 o'clock in the morning. So that's one issue. The other issue is that I used to see, prior to July 1, 2004, a lot of enforcement in the school zones around town. I used to see a lot of police cars there at various occasions, motorcycles, and tickets being issued. Although Mr. West testified that apparently there are some tickets that have been issued since the 1st of July 74 or 04, I haven't seen any of that. I've been trying to go through those school zones in compliance with what I understood the law to be, and people are always going around me on both sides and giving me unfavorable signals with their hands for being in their way and paying no attention at all to the 20 mile per hour zone. And I think the police are as confused as the rest of us as to what they ought to be doing about enforcing the present law. I'd be glad to answer any questions, although I probably don't have any answers.
Questions? Thank you. Thank you. Hank Slangle?
Mr. Chairman and committee members, if you would like me to submit copies, I can mail them in to you.
My name is Hank Slangle. My wife and I live on Northwest Baker Creek Road in McMinnville. Baker Creek Road is the busiest residential street in McMinnville. Some days, more than 10,000 vehicles pass our house. And there's a lot of home building going on farther out our street, so we have a growing problem. We live right across the street from a church that has a school, so recently we have enjoyed the new speed limit of 20 miles per hour at all times. It was 30 miles an hour before that, and until a couple of years ago, it was 35. I'm not here to argue for having a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit at all times, although I think it has been, at least for us, a move in the right direction. I do have 2 points to make. A couple of years ago, when our neighborhood petitioned to lower the speed limit from 35, we found out that there's a kind of driver-based dogma among those who set speed limits that a certain percentile of drivers using the road establishes the speed limit. We were more or less told that drivers, the majority of them, know what is a safe speed and observe it. Well, as a driver, I can tell you that's fallacious. Many times I have thought that I could go faster and should not have been. I think it's kind of a cop-out policy. And we were told that residents just don't know. And other concerns like impact on neighborhood livability seem to come in a very distant second. So I think the move to severely restrict the speed around schools, if it is a little overzealous, was a move in the right direction. My second point is that reasonable speed limits have to be partnered with enforcement. And I'm not talking about speed traps. My wife and I are grateful to the many drivers who pass our home at reasonably quiet speeds. After all, this is a residential neighborhood. But many drivers, including those of big construction rigs, go way too fast, creating danger and noise. We'd like to see some ticketing. Speed limit scoff laws are everywhere, it seems. If you observe freeway speed limits, everyone passes you up, and some not too politely. Almost 50,000 Americans are killed each year in traffic accidents. Excessive speed is a major cause of this carnage. Laws that are fair and evenly enforced, I think, engender respect for the law. We should have reasonable and humane speed limits, and they should be enforced. I thank you, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since you live on a, since you live near a school, I'd be interested in your observations as to what hours you tend to see children most in the area. If you were to pick a set of hours that would be all inclusive of the hours that you see activity of children in your area, what hours?
My experience is very anecdotal, and quite frankly, we see more children around the middle of the day on Sunday. And the school is way in the back of the campus of the church, so we don't see the children during the day, but we sure do like to see the soul speed.
Further questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, yes. Thank you. Maybe a comment more than anything. I know that in Springfield, where I'm from, in talking with our local police chief, who doesn't necessarily think the bill that was passed last time was a great bill either, they enforce in the 20 mile per hour at all times during the times that children are coming and going from school. And other than that, they don't spend a lot of time there. And those really are the times that we would hope they're enforcing anyway, usually. So I don't think that's necessarily that happens everywhere. I would like to think that the police have enough good sense that they're being discretionary when they do ticket. But
we have observed that the observation of the speed limit occurs when there's a policeman around, not when there's school going on. Yeah. And we have also observed that there's almost no enforcement day or night.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Hank.
Thank you very much.
OK.
Okay, Floyd and Lynn Oyster.
My name is Floyd Oster, and I live in Albany. And I hope that I can do as well as the gentleman before me, because they read really good ideas. But I have a short statement that I will read. I thank you for the opportunity to address one of my favorite gripes, passed by the legislature last session. And I have griped, but I welcome the chance to say thank you for the way you have decided to overturn a wrong. Really, it does not often happen. But if one does not like a law, he should be ready to offer a suggestion to replace or enhance it, like get rid of school zones. Zones should be the perimeter around the school, not across blocks from an unseen school. 25 miles per hour is fine, and one sign, not three or four, as is in most cases now. In the small print, you can see those signs from 1,000 feet, that lime green. You can't read those signs from 30 feet. I'm 80 years old. I can read, but walk up to the sign to read it. You can, anyway, a crossing sign should be a crossing sign, not a school sign. People use these crossings, not just kids. I walk in the morning from between 6 and 8, 2 to 4 miles. There are kids out at 7 o'clock in the morning. I drive my granddaughter to college, my grandson to grade school, my great-grandson to preschool, and pass at least 8 school zones twice a day. And I see everything but kids at these crossings. A major exception is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the local middle school dumps the children. And let it be noted, these kids do not use crosswalks and they do not honor wait signs. I've been passed on the right by pocket motorcycles, bikes, high school age drivers doing twice the speed permitted, and I've been tailgated, given the sign of honor, passed illegally, watched buses exceed speed limits, and forgotten all the exempt cars that are not following the usual courtesies. I try to do speed limits, even the ODOT does not see fit to keep speeds realistic with the traffic flow, even after being requested by the legislators. But please get rid of the unrealistic speed laws and this school speed law. Anytime, any place, almost everywhere is certainly one of the most unneeded. I walked one of the grandsons to school the other day. More correctly, it was back when they first put the law into effect. At a crosswalk at the school perimeter was a four-way stop. 100 feet from this four-way stop is a sign, school zone. Another 100 feet down the road is a sign saying you're going to have a school zone and a 20-mile speed limit. Another 30 feet was a police officer. I said, checking out the speed limits? And she said, yes. And I said, but the sign is clear up there. She said, I'm going to make sure everybody's doing 20 when they get to the sign. And it was still 100 feet to a stop sign. I mean, overzealous is a mild word for it. I think that you have lots of good ideas, and I think the law needs to be adapted to what we have. I do not like it. I do not like 20 miles an hour. Like I say, people run over you. I see children out at 7 o'clock in the morning walking to school. I rarely see one after 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Floyd. Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Frank, and I can't read your last name. You write kind of like I do.
It's Lane, L-A-N-E. I'm sorry, my name is Frank Lane. Thank you for... I didn't really prepare anything for any pre-written materials, but you know the existing laws are confusing, and there's just no doubt about it. I forget how many conditions you can have, and I think there are 6 or 7 different possible conditions: lights, no lights, at etc. But I think we have to go back to is what is the purpose of the speed zone, the school zone? And that's to protect kids coming or going from school. That schools are used after school for play areas. You know, kids play everywhere. If you're going to use that criteria, you probably have to zone all the malls. That's where kids mostly play. I know it, there's probably no simple answer for it, but if you were to ask me what I would do, is A, I would put lights at every place, and then B, establish the criteria for when those lights can be used. Is it an hour before school and an hour after school? If you want to use them for events in the evening, that's a criteria that has to be established and set. And I think it would probably have to be established by law. I don't know that. Again, I appreciate for the your efforts for especially having an evening session to hear these. And I guess that's about everything I can think of. Just, you know, we have a criteria. What are we going to use as the school zone laws for? You can't use them to establish what is a nice speed limit during, you know, in a residential area. It's for to protect the children. It's when they're coming and going to school. If they're inside the building, they don't need a zone. If they're inside a fenced play area, it's recess. They really don't need the speed zones then. I would say before and after school. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Hang on for a minute. You might have a question. No, I guess not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This isn't a question, but I just wanted to follow up on this comment. I think, to me, what's difficult with the existing law as is right now is that the confusion that the gentleman referred to is that if you look at it now, there's really three things. If the school zone is on a street that is posted 30 miles an hour or less, then it's 24/7, 365, period. No questions asked. No lights, no nothing. It's just all the time. But if it's on a street that's posted 30 miles an hour or more, then it's any time if you have a flashing light, or it's any time if you have posted signs. You know, but here you have a different standard. Third is if you have a crosswalk, which is not at a school, could be three blocks away. And if it's a crosswalk as such, then it's any time you have a flashing light, or any time posted in that zone, or any time the children are present. And, you know, this is where the confusion comes in. I mean, and a lot of the testimony so far has been on the 24/7. We heard from Representative Richardson about the 777 idea, but that only touches a part of this thing. And what 2365 does, that Representative Berger has introduced, is it gets rid of all of these things that I just read to you and collapses it back down to what was simple, consistent, and understandable when children are present. And if you want to have lights, we could still have lights. But it's when children are present. I mean, the one speaker talked about having lights to try and warn drivers ahead of time. Sounds like a good idea if it's affordable.
Can I make another comment back here?
Certainly, but you'll need to come back up if you don't mind, Frank.
I personally have never had a problem determining when children are present or when they're not present.
Okay, we have a couple more people to testify. Carl Gunter.
Hello. I also don't have anything written because I didn't think this was as huge an issue as it has become. I actually thought there was a pretty simple answer to this varying question of when and where and how to control the speed limits and so on. I'm like neutral because I do agree the fact that kids do need to have protection when they're in the school areas. And when they're in the school areas. And again, like everybody's been saying, you know, at certain times in the morning, certain times in the afternoon. And, you know, when you have the light up there, when it's flashing, when children are present. And if you had that kind of a sign everywhere, and it was across the board, you wouldn't have the problem of people wondering, okay, when do I slow down? When don't I slow down? My wife and I, we've been discussing this constantly, this new law, because I told her it was 30 miles per hour or when it's posted. If it's above 35, then it's whenever it's posted. And she's like, no, it isn't. I said, that's what it's been. That's what I heard, and that's what I know of, you know. And so, you know, that's where it really comes down to. It comes down to, okay, specifically, very simply, kids are in school at a certain time. They get out at a certain time. They're protected at those times. And then if they have events or they have, you know, whatever's going on, then you have the flashing light. And that says, okay, the kids are around. And you need to watch out for those kids whenever, you know, in those positions. And that's kind of the way I was looking at it. I agree with the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit when they're there. I think it's very important. I don't want to see any kids getting hurt. Also, I've gone through school zones when I've seen a police car there. And then other times I haven't seen police cars there, and I've seen people speed through them. I've never been passed or honked at because, I don't know, maybe they just see me in the car and they don't want to mess with me. I don't know what it is, but, you know. it simply is, you know, that, you know, there needs to be a good law, and the law needs to be specified in an easy way for everybody to understand. And I think that's kind of what we're here for, is to figure out the exact times and the right way to do it. And so that's kind of what I'm looking at, is the flashing light and the times when they're going to be there and when they're not going to be there.
Carl, I appreciate your comments, and, okay. And I specifically appreciate your comment about 20 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, and the safety engineer from Portland isn't here tonight, but in the Monday session, he talked about the difference of 10 miles an hour. If you're going 30 miles an hour instead of 20 miles an hour, you're four times more likely to injure that kid seriously. Yes. When yes. You hit him. And so I appreciate your comment about 20, because I really believe that's probably the proper speed.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
You know, when there's a chance that we'd run into a child.
Absolutely. I mean, you have better reaction time.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, the reaction time, yeah.
That's right, yes. Same further.
Yeah. Because of his testimony, I want to remind folks, and I know that you folks in the committee understand, that one of the problems we have is that those signs are, those particular amber flashers, boy, they tell the story. If
yes.
They're flashing, you go 20.
Yes.
The problem is they aren't required. And throughout the state are areas that do not have them. And unless we're going to pony up with the money to buy them, then we're basically, by saying, well, the flashing lights are the answer, they're only the answer if we're willing to pay for them. And that's part of the issue. And Salem has a lot of those lights because Salem has invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are turned off because of this law, because of the confusion of this law. And that's another craziness in here that sort of makes me mad about the whole thing. Here we have invested in the lights, but they aren't appropriate to this law, or they're seen as too confusing in this law, so there they sit. And then there's whole parts of the state where you won't see an amber light. Just my little comment.
What about the color of the signs? You know, we have white, and it's a normal speed limit for everybody. What if we change the color of the sign to represent that speed limit in the school zone? We have crosswalks of certain signs, so people can understand the colors of those signs. But if we had a different color in the sign that identified this is, you know, you could highlight the outside of the sign as a 20, you could put that green around it, or something of that nature, which would definitely show that this is a school zone.
And the corresponding.
And the corresponding would be down below it. Of course, you want to make the writing big enough for everybody to see. You know, at all times, way down here, the magnifying glass doesn't work all the time. But the idea is that you got to make it for everybody and make it good for everybody to see. So, you know, you might want to make the letters a little bit bigger and stuff like that. But at least in that way, you're saying this is identified as a different thing. Like, crosswalks have a certain way they do it. School zones can have a certain way they do it. Just a suggestion.
Thank you, Carl.
Any other questions?
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Jennifer Scheider? Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. I would like to just go ahead and read my letter to you, if that's okay. So
Services. I am writing to urge you to support this repeal of the 20 mile per hour at all times law. And on Saturday, the 29th of January at 9:30 a.m., I was traveling on 99W through Monroe on my way from Eugene to Corvallis. I received a $141 ticket for going 35 miles per hour in their 20 mile per hour school zone. In my opinion, it is completely stupid and ridiculous to be ticketed on a highway on a Saturday morning for a school zone violation. There was no school traffic. There were no children or any pedestrians anywhere in the vicinity. I've seen some school zones which have the 20 mile per hour listed and included on the sign. It reads school days, 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. or something similar, or as we've been discussing, when lights flash. And I think those options are much more reasonable. I'm a caring citizen, and I try to be law-abiding. I teach school, and I agree that measures need to be taken to ensure the safety of our children. School zone laws are put in place to provide protection for children. However, in this case, that's not what happened. There were no children in the area, and my actions did not put anyone in danger. I attended my traffic court appointment last Thursday, March 4th, for this violation. I explained my view to the judge, and he responded by furrowing his brow and telling me that this law was silly. He continued.
That's good. I want that judge name.
He continued by expressing his view that people don't need to be ticketed for school zone violations, for example, at midnight. He told me he would discuss his matter with the officer to find out his reasoning in ticketing for a school zone violation when there were no children present. He would then notify me in writing as to his decision in this case. And I'm hoping that he will dismiss the case and I will not have to pay the fine. And I'm sure other people have received similar tickets and feel the same way I do. I would like to see a repeal of this law, and those who have paid traffic fines in it have refunds given.
Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer, you state your name for us.
Jennifer Schuler.
Okay. And I'm kind of serious about the judge's name, but I do not want to tell but I'd like to meet yes. Any questions?
He was also, let me add one more thing. He was also somewhat puzzled. He was like, most officers aren't ticketing for this unless there are children present. Because he judges like throughout Junction City and Monroe and various places. He's like, I don't understand why he was ticketing when there were no children present. And
we're all human. We're all human, and sometimes people have bad days, and you never know what it's about. I particularly appreciate you come up and talk to us about this, because we haven't had very many complaints from people about getting a ticket at a time when children weren't present. So I do appreciate that. We do intend to change this law. I don't think everybody will like our solution, but I'm quite sure it'll be much better than what we have right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else to testify on school speed zones?
Can I say one more thing?
You need to come forward.
Here again. Carl Petter.
Yeah.
The flashing yellow light you were talking about? Now, is it less expensive to have just one little flashing yellow light on a sign, or have it hanging across the street? Or, you know, that would be my question about that also, is because you could have it on the sign and have it flashing.
What's this in the back of the room?
I'm trying to find an expert in the back of the room, and nobody wants to do it.
Because, you know, if you had one light on the sign, would it be cheaper to do that or to have it hanging across? Because, you know, you have them different ways. Yeah. So that's what I was curious about.
Carl, I don't know the answer. I don't even know how much a sign costs.
Yeah.
And we will research that, because one of the solutions we're talking about, and I don't want to go too far into this until our work group does its work, but we may have a differential
of anything over 30 miles has a flashing light. Yeah. And if we can figure out a way to pay for that, and there are some federal funds available for school safety, we may be able to pay for that without undue hardship on local jurisdictions, who are the ones that currently have to put them up.
And the colored signs, you know, that might be cheaper, you know, and with the reflectors or something, you know what I mean? So,
okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone further?
I have another comment.
The reason is because we have to have it on the record.
Floyd Oster again. At Lynn Benton the other day, they had a light around a stop sign in a flash. It was inexpensive, battery powered. They changed the battery every 3 months. The stop sign, a lot of people ran it. But it's a very simple, inexpensive way to fix a sign, whether you want a green, yellow, or red. And for the record, in the book it says children are anytime in school zones, and it says anytime children are present, which means children standing at a crosswalk. So you have part of your deal covered for children. If they're at the crosswalk, which means they can step off the curb.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
One of the testimonies that we heard the other day, too, was the fact that a lot of the accidents occur from children darting out between cars that aren't visible. So when people talk about, you know, knowing when children are present, this kind of defies that a little bit, that we could have children that are not visible that you wouldn't see, whereas if you have a lower speed, the risk of danger, or, you know, of injury is not as great. So I think that was a very important thing that we should be keeping in mind, too.
I thank you for your
thank
questions.
You. Thank you. Bill Anderson.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity again of allowing us to all speak and you listening to what we have to say. I speak from the standpoint of a business person. I live out in South Salem and my office is out in South Salem, and I drive through a couple of school sections six times a day or more. And the thing that intrigues me is that I don't think anybody that I'm seeing driving through there, we're all residential people out there, and nobody wants to hurt a child. Nobody wants to run over anybody or damage anybody, you know, and yet the thing is that, and in most instances in these places, when children are present, coming and going from school, there's a traffic jam there. There's a lot of cars because moms are coming and getting their kids, and there's a lot of people coming. You couldn't go faster than 20 if you wanted to. Most of the time, you're bumper to bumper at 10, you know. And so I think it's a little overkill in the sense that if we're talking times of the day when kids really are coming and going, it's the problem is pretty well being taken care of by traffic jams in their own right. The other thing is that when I'm coming and going and the kids are already in school, they're under the supervision of their teachers, they're under the supervision of their PE teachers in the school area, and there's fences up so they're not running out into the street, balls aren't coming out into the street or any of those kind of things, and they're under the supervision of teachers, and if a kid is coming or going, mom's there to pick them up, to take them to the dentist, the doctor, whatever, so they're pretty well supervised. So it's not like in those times that kids are already positioned in the school, what I would say is from 9 o'clock or whatever until the 2 o'clock hour, right in that period of time, there's nobody coming and going. And that just speeds up things in our lives in industry to get going where we're going. And I'm not wanting to speed. I'm saying getting up to that 30 mile an hour, I mean, every minute counts. You know, time's money in business. And so even though we're not wanting to hurt the children, we're not wanting to stifle their learning opportunity, I think that we shouldn't be stifled either in our ability to come and go and get where we need to go as efficiently as possible and still take into consideration the kids coming and going at those times when they are coming and going. Now, the other point that I would like to make, or a couple points, one is I talked to an elderly lady the other day about this very issue, and I mentioned I was going to come and observe what was going on in the hearing, and she says, well, I've just figured out what to do. She says, I just go 20 in all of them, regardless what's happening, and that way I don't get a ticket. You know, and you're sitting there going, okay, fine, but lady, remember, when the light's not flashing there at Madrona, you can go 35. So what you're doing is presenting a hazard to all the rest of us behind you, you know, for that. And she's going, oh, yeah, but I'm not going to get a ticket. Well, see, the confusion, and it's been pointed out here, the confusion thing is the big issue. Another quick little point is about 15 years ago, I mean, this shows long time ago, I got a ticket in Dallas, Oregon, in a school zone at 10:30 in the morning. And, you know, that's back when the law just said when children are present. I'm driving through this thing, and children aren't present. And I get a ticket. Dallas officer pulls me over, and I'm going, excuse me, what's the issue? Well, you know, you're in a school zone. Don't you know? You're supposed to be going 20. And I'm going, it says when children are present. There aren't any children. Look over there. The kids were out on the playground, and they were a good two blocks away. If you know where Dallas Elementary is there, they play over there. You know, and so this officer is sitting here saying, children are present. Look over there. They weren't anywhere near the highway, nowhere near danger, but that was his definition. And I went to the judge, of course, in Dallas. And this is, again, we're talking 15 years ago. But that's because this definition, like you were stating, is not clear in law enforcement across the state. This guy said children were present. His judge agreed with him, and I still got the ticket, and it was not reduced, even though I said, look, it was at 10. You can see on the ticket what time it was. No kids were coming and going. They were having recess out on the playground equipment. But because he defined that as being children present, you know, so a clearer definition maybe in law enforcement across the state of this very thing, if you're saying when children are present, would be good and have that published, and we'd all know it.
Thanks, Phil. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone further? It's wide open. Yes, come on up. State your name, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Karen Jones. I haven't done this before, but I'm interested in this as a mother. I think the 777 might be a good idea, but I would prefer to see 755. 7 to 5, 5 days a week. And I think it's a good idea to have it all day because sometimes the children are dismissed at noon, or a child might be sick and have to cross the street and there is no crossing guard to get home. Maybe his parents work, both of them work. So I would like it to be like a Pavlovian response. You see that you're in a school zone, you know that you have to go 20, and it's like a block and a half or 3 blocks at the most surrounding each school is a zone, isn't it? I'm not real sure. But it seems to me that if everyone could just get into the habit of, oh, it's a school zone, I have to go 20 all through the day, just in case. Because you don't know if it's a half day. I don't keep current on other schools' half days, or sometimes they have something called a grading day where the children aren't even there, but there might be other activities going on. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Thank you. Very
thank you.
Question. What about the summer? Are you saying 755 all year long?
That's a good question. No, I'm not. Just during when school is in session, I suppose. Okay.
Representative Burley, did you?
I want to make sure she...
Oh, okay. Any further questions? Thank you very much. All right. Last chance.
I have a camera before you gavel out.
Yeah.
Just one more quick point on the flashing lights. And I don't know who, I got the impression from the school people that the city controls those. Now, is that correct here in Salem?
I think it's both the school district and the city have gone together on those.
Because at a couple different times, Saturdays, days off, you know, holidays, those lights are flashing and have been flashing even before last July.
Yep. State your name.
Oh, Phil Anderson. I'm very sorry. Back again. The point of the story is that those lights are flashing, you know, on days when the kids aren't anywhere in school. And I picked up the phone because I used to be a school teacher, and it's like if I tell somebody repeatedly I want this to have happen, and if I'm not consistent, then I can't expect them to be consistent. And in this case, I call up the school and I say to the school, hey, if you want us to slow down to 20, then get those lights shut off when your kids aren't there. And they're going, we have nothing to do with it. City of Salem takes care of that. I try to call down to City of Salem traffic people, and they sit there and go, oh, we don't know who does that. I mean, nobody wants to take responsibility. So it's the idea of, okay, I don't mind lights flashing. I'll come down to 20, no problem. But let's not have those on Saturdays. Let's not have them on the days that obviously are conference day, or not conference days when kids are there, but I'm saying on days when they're obvious holidays and Christmas, whatever else, and nobody's there. Thank you.
Yes, I'm representing for you have a comment.
For the record, my name is Jessica Miller. I just have a quick comment listening to everybody's testimony this evening. Some people brought up about when during the school year to have this effect if they change the law. I know for myself and my husband, we don't know when school is anymore. Frankly, unless you have children in the school district, you don't know if they start the day after Labor Day, a week later, or a week before. And concerned with holidays, even though it may be Thanksgiving or Christmas and we all think everybody's home, we live near a school and there are always children playing on that school ground. And it's not just the days that they're there in session. If there's a playground, they're going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Question. Any
questions? No. Thank you. Okay, Representative Berger, comment.
I wanted to thank the committee for their indulgence in having an evening hearing for these folks. I also have with me 40 emails and letters that I have received in the last week on this issue. To be fair, most say get rid of this thing or rework this thing. There are some who say we think 20 miles an hour is very reasonable in school zones. Rather than enter them all into the record, I thought I would make them available to the committee and let you know that I have heard from a lot more folks than just tonight, and I just really appreciate your indulgence, Mr. Chair, and having a evening hearing for folks to come down and talk to us about it. Thank you.
Did you have...
I'd like to make a very brief
name. Yep.
To travel 1/4 mile at 30 miles an hour takes 30 seconds. To travel 1/4 mile at 20 miles an hour takes 15 seconds more. Thank you.
Thank you. Your name. Real quick, your name.
Oh, I'm Hank Slagle. I'm from McMinnville.
Okay. Now, come on, folks. This is the last one, Carl.
Carl Gunter. I think the light flashing, what Phil was talking about, the light should be flashing all the time, let you know it's a school zone. Not that you have to slow down to 20 when it's flashing. It would say when children are present, that's why the light would flash. So that way you know, hey, we're coming up on a school zone. We need to look around for children. That's it, you know. And then you were talking about summertime or whatever. When you have it on the sign during school hours, that takes care of summer. You don't, you know, during school hours when school's off. So I had to say.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.